All right, if you got your Bibles, let's head on over to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. I'm going to open up in prayer. Lord, we need you today. I need you. Lord, this is a hard message for me to be teaching here on Mother's Day. In fact, I wouldn't even have guessed that you'd have me teach this message today had you not had me teach it. So I'm praying that you give me wisdom, Lord. I'm praying that you open up my eyes, that you give me words to speak, Father, that you give clarity to my mind. God, that nobody gets up in the middle of the service and runs out of here, but that we listen, Lord, to what you got to say to us, Father. So we're asking that you speak a word to us and change us, God, that we would leave this place different than the way that we came. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 is really where we're going to be starting. In this passage, we're going through the books of the Bible. That's what we do here. We teach through the books, book by book, chapter by chapter. And so however Sunday lands, it lands. And today it landed on marriage. But you'll see why I'm laughing. Because if you've ever been married, come on, somebody, you know that it can be kind of messy. Amen? I heard a kid. He was in Sunday school, and the pastor was asking the kids, what does the Bible teach about marriage? What does God say about marriage? And this one boy, he's all excited. He's like, I got the answer. Pick me. And so he's like, all right, what's the Bible say? And that little boy got up, and he says, the Bible says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Only somebody who's been married knows what I'm talking about. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Marriage can be crazy difficult. In fact, I'm not the expert, I'll tell you that. But I have been married for 25 years. And thank you. It's been harder on me than Vicky. But I've been married 25 years. And so I can tell you that through our relationship, man, we've gone through some crazy ups and downs. And if you're here today, by the way, and you're not married, you're single, this is going to speak to you, fellas, because when you do get married, you're going to want to know how to stay married. It just takes you to look around to see that a lot of people don't stick it out. And you've probably been there before, where you've gone through a divorce, or you've been your family, your dad or something maybe. We all know what it's like. And so whether you're single, this is going to speak to you. It's going to speak to you about how to handle your wife, how your wife's going to deal with you, and it's going to speak to you. And for us that are married, this passage right here is what has kept Vicky and I together. We would fight so bad, we would literally have breakups in the middle of our breakups. And I don't even know if that's possible. But we were so bad, you guys know, we would go for Christian counseling, and they would kick us out. And we tried to tell them, we're like another level. You don't know nothing about us. And they're like, oh, Jesus is the answer. Come on in. And then by the time 15 minutes, they're like, you guys got to go. There's no help. I'm going to pray for you guys. That's all I got. I'm going to pray for you guys, but you got to go. And that's the way it was. Our family said, somebody's going to kill somebody in this relationship. And that was, I mean, we've been married 25 years. We lived in sin for like 3 years. By the way, God can redeem that too. Amen. And so we've gone through it. We've seen a lot of ups. We've seen a lot of downs. And I can tell you this, the one thing that has made this work is Jesus. Everybody that said we wouldn't make it, everybody that said you're going to kill him, he's going to kill you, you know what? They're gone. And you know what the difference between us and them was? Jesus. That was the difference. And so when we get in to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, this is God trying to hit the reset button on getting marriage back to the way that it was when it was. You remember in the Garden of Eden? You guys remember that story about Adam and Eve and God created male? And he was looking around and he's like, man, you know, there's cows and there's sheep, but this guy's still alone, so I don't know. These animals ain't gonna, I'm gonna make a woman. And Adam was like, thank you, Jesus. And so we have Eve, and she comes in. In the beginning, there was mutual submission. It was so cool. Eve would be asking Adam, what do you want to do tonight? And he'd be like, you know what? Let's just go shop and watch Pride and Prejudice. Let's hang out and watch The Princess Bride. And he had asked Eve, hey, what do you want to do tonight? She's like, you know what? I just want to watch the game, get you beer, and be quiet. And it was like, yes, it was like this mutual submission. And everything was like perfect in the beginning. But that mutual submission turned into mutual division. And so now we have this issue where Paul comes in. Check out verse 22. He's going to deal with this issue with submission. Because they said that marriage is like a circus. You've got the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and then suffering, right? I'm not trying to make this any worse than it is, but come on, you guys know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. But it doesn't have to be that way. So Paul starts out with verse 22, and he starts with the wives. Now, as you're going to listen to this, just give me a few minutes. Don't check this off and hit the door as soon as you hear this or start ripping the seat up you're sitting on, okay? Just we got to be patient and hear the Bible out. Amen? Okay, are you with me, ladies? Okay, sure. Okay, I'm going to do it's like you better be careful up there, Jason. Trust me, I know. I've been praying about this all week. Because this is how verse 22 starts out. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, that's the plaque you want to go to Hobby Lobby and buy, right? And stick it in the living room, put that up above the fireplace, you know? And right there, the guys are like, honey, I think I'm feeling the Spirit. He's going to move today in this message. This is going to speak to somebody's heart today. He says, wives, submit to your own husbands. And the ladies in Ephesus were like, oh, no, he did not. He did not just say that. Paul did say that. And when he says to your own husbands, what was happening is before Christ and Christianity, women were treated as less. They were not looked at as equal. They were owned as property, and they were to submit to any and every man. But see, when Jesus came on the scene, he changed all that. He flipped the switch, and he says, oh, no, you guys got it all mixed up. You see, that's not the way that it is. He created male and female in his image, and there's equality. And Jesus stuck up for women and their rights and their honor and dignity more than anybody has ever done ever in the history of the world. In fact, it's because of Jesus that we see women as we're equal. There's equality there with each other. But they used to submit to just anybody and everybody. And so Paul says, submit to your own husband. That means Paul's looking at this from a Christian perspective, assuming that you're married. And we're looking at this as Christians who are married to a Christian. Are you following? Because if you're not married here today and you're with somebody and there's no marriage there, he doesn't got the right to tell you who you can hang out with on Friday night. He doesn't have the right to tell you how to spend that money. He doesn't tell you what you can do and who you can do it with and how things are going to go. Because you're to submit to your own husband. And so if there's no marriage, what Paul's letting us know is there's no submission, okay? So you can't expect to live in sin and think that God's going to bless that, okay? We know that, right? I'm not saying that we're not going to live in sin. I know all about it. But I'm just saying I can't expect God to bless it. He wants to bless our marriage and our unity and our bond together. But if there's no marriage, he's saying there's no submission. So we just don't submit to anybody. He says wives are to submit to their own husbands. And what he means by submission, the definition of it that we're going to use, is cooperation with trust. Okay? So ladies, that means that you are not his doormat, his punching bag, his boo on sometimes. There's respect there. There's a submission that is there where a husband respects his wife. And second, husbands are to treat their wives as equal. Look at verse 21. Now, what happens is when we read the Bible and we come on to wives, submit to your husbands, a lot of the time, have you ever met anybody that just took that straight out of context and used that as like their theology? Just submit. Anybody? You just submit. Just shut your mouth, submit, do what you're told. You're to submit to me. That doesn't go very well, by the way. But Paul says in verse 21, he says, submit to one another in the fear of God. And then in verse 22, he says, wives, as to your husband. And the original Greek submit is not there. We've put it there to make a connection that God's saying, submit to one another. So we know that there's going to be equal submission. But when it comes to our Christian marriages, check this out, there is a headship in the family. There's a headship. There's a headship of this, where the man is going to be the head of his household. He's going to be the headship of the household. And right there, somebody's like, well, I've got this girlfriend. She's got, you know, she drives around a Subaru, and she's got a bald fade, and she wears construction boots all day. And she says, you're wrong. Hey, your friend's wrong. The Bible says that the man, check this out, the man is to be the headship of his home. And so this is what he says in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So when he starts out, he's saying there's an order to our relationship. To our relationships, there's a submission there. And Jesus, when we look at it, this isn't some male chauvinistic, egotistical hierarchy. Because what we know about Jesus is that he did promote the equality between us and women. So it's not that. But regardless of our culture, because what our culture will tell us is, no, that's not the way it should be. Christ is the one who defines our culture, amen? He defines it. I mean, if you want to make up the rules, go for it. But you're going to find out that it doesn't work out very well for you because your truth may not be my truth. What happens if you're, you know, whose truth is whose truth? Who's right? Who's wrong? Well, we go to the Bible and we say, okay, we're going to let the Bible speak to us and tell us what that is. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, but I want you to know the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So he says the head of every man is Christ, right? And then the head of every woman is man, and Jesus, the head of Jesus is who? God. So listen, submission and headship, this headship issue, is not an issue of inferiority or lesser than, because Jesus submitted to this order of headship. Jesus says, I don't ever speak unless I hear what the Father's saying. I don't ever do unless what the Father's told me to do. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So you see, there is this submission to this headship that Jesus was a part of, but unfortunately our culture takes masculinity. Like, I was just watching the news, and the first thing that came on was called toxic masculinity. And so what we've done is we've taken men in the culture and in the media, and we've totally downplayed them as ignorant, stupid, and weak. When you watch shows like Al Bundy, I love Al Bundy. The guy, I see some of myself in him, I hate to say it. But Al Bundy, Homer Simpson, Archie Bunker, I don't know how far I got to go back with some of you guys. But we look at men and we're just like, we downplay them and we act like they're insignificant, but God says they're significant and there's a headship there. And it's natural, isn't it? Think about this for a second. So when Vicky and I are in bed and we're sleeping, and say it's 2:30 in the morning and there's a boom in the living room, it's not Vicky going, baby, stay right there. I'm going to grab my hair straightener. I got this. Just stay right there. I got this. It's not Vicky doing that. In fact, you know what it is? It's Vicky punching me in the mouth. Get up. Get out there. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like Thor or Aquaman. And by the way, that dude, hey, he's good looking, but you know he can't act. Come on, right? The only reason why you guys are watching Aquaman is because that guy looks good. But he needs to go back to school and learn how to act. But that's how I get up. I'm like, I'm ready. What's up? Because I'll tell you what, I'm a pastor with some built-up frustration. And you come in my house like that, man, I tell you what, I'm going to be praying for you as I'm beating you down. So by nature, we get up and we're like, okay, we want to defend. We want to protect. We want to be the man, the headship. That's all this is. And for a wife to remove that headship, check this out, there's going to be a hardship. You remove a man from being a man, and there's going to be a hardship. And here's why, because listen, God can deal with your man better than you can deal with your man. God can lead your man better than you can lead your man. God can change your man better than you can change your man. And what happens is, really, in all honesty, some women feel like they have to remove that headship from certain men because certain men aren't being men. They're not taking care of business. They're not being responsible. They're doing stupid junk. They're not listening to the word. And so women step in, they're like, oh no, I gotta take control. And in all honesty, I can totally see how that would be. But what happens also with men is if their headship is removed and they're not allowed to make decisions, or there's arguing about everything, or there's division about everything, you know what's gonna happen to a man? He's gonna shut down. And then you're gonna have a husband that doesn't talk to you, that is not present with you, that does what you want him to do, but he's not like he's really there, and you're gonna have a roommate instead of a soulmate. Because as men, that's how we roll. You want it your way, have it your way, but I'm out of it. And then wives will be like, I don't know why he's not talking to me. I don't know why he's checking out. I don't know why he's not listening. I don't know why he's here, but he's like, he's not here. It's because that's what men do. They shut down. And part of a husband having the headship is, listen to this, he's going to make mistakes. Yeah. He's going to mess up. He's going to do stupid things. A lot of the stuff that he does sometimes is that it's not going to make sense. But I'm going to tell you guys what, if you surrender him to God, God will change him into the man that you want. And trust me, ladies, you want a godly man. Hey, I don't care about the six-pack and abs. You give a girl someone who's sold out for the Lord and loves her and wants to protect her, it doesn't matter the money, it doesn't matter the body. She's going to be, I mean, it's going to be hot. There's going to be some relationship right there. And so in verse 22, Paul says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And the reason why is because it's going to be hard to submit to your husband, especially if he's done stupid things. Again, we're talking about a Christian man. It's going to be hard to submit even then. And that's why it says, as to the Lord. So don't try to figure on, man, I'm just going to submit to my husband and listen to him, and this is all going to change, because that's not going to work that way. You got to look at it like you're submitting to God first. And then out of that, what you'll see is there's going to be a change with you and how you handle your husband. That's why he says submit to the Lord. It doesn't come naturally and it doesn't make sense and it's hard. And you're like, but Jason, you don't know him. He doesn't read the Bible every day. In fact, I don't even know the last time he prayed, and I think he said a bad word. Yeah. No, I'm sure he may not be the most spiritual, and I'm sure I may not know that he's like the most incredible godly man, but he's your man. He's yours. And so you want to submit and get to God and say, God, I don't know how to love this guy. I don't know how to do it in a way that honors you. I don't know how to submit. And that's the best place you can be, ladies, is on your knees before God and saying, God, teach me how to do this. That's why Paul says, as to the Lord. And we're going to get on the fellas here in a minute. I thank you guys for hanging in there. Trust me, it's going to get worse for the men. But he says, submit as unto the Lord. So when he's like coming to you and he's like, I want to quit my job and go into this other thing. And you're like, Lord, here he is. Here he is. He wants to do something different in the finances. God, here it is. You said, here he is. I'm going to let you deal with them. He wants our kid to go to a different school. You know what, God? Here he is. He's yours. You deal with them. And when you submit your husband to God, God is going to work in your husband. Guaranteed. And he will still make mistakes. But when he comes out of those mistakes and those ignorant things that we can do as men, you know what's going to happen on the other side of it? You can come out of bankruptcy. But you can't come out of a divorce. And when you submit to God and let him do and just surrender him to God, and you get on his side, what happens after bankruptcy? What happens after those dumb decisions? You would have won your husband in such a way, and your marriage will be so much stronger. You'll come out of those bad decisions, and you'll have an amazing marriage that kept it together because you got on his team. And so Paul says, as to the Lord, verse 24, check this out. Therefore, he says, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Everything? No. Husbands, before you get all excited. Paul doesn't, you got to remember, this is a Christian man. So this isn't a man who's going to ask you to watch porn. This isn't going to be a man who says, hey, let's have an open relationship. This isn't going to be a man that's leading you into sin, but's looking to make you strong. This is a different kind of man. It's a Christian man. And he's using the example as the church submits to Christ. How would Christ, how does he treat the church? He never leads the church into sin. He looks to strengthen and develop us. And so there's a few reasons. So the wife doesn't submit to everything. If the husband has lost his mind, you don't submit to that. If a husband has physically abused you and you're worried about your safety and your children, you don't submit to that. If your husband has broken the bond of marriage that is sacred to God by sleeping around and cheating on you, then you're free from your obligation to submit. The Bible doesn't say you just accept it. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but that's not this one. The Bible doesn't say just accept it. So there's reasons for not submitting. And the men, when we hear this, we got to get it straight, because it doesn't mean that she's there to do any and everything that we want. Go get me a beer and wear something sexy. It's not like that. It doesn't mean when it says submit to your husband as to the Lord, it doesn't mean that your husband is like God. And you submit to everything. So that's the wrong way, number one. Wrong way, number two, for the wives. That doesn't mean that if he's not doing what you think the Lord wants him to do, you submit. Because guess who's determining what the Lord thinks is right? You're thinking what the Lord is right. It's like you're determining, hey, this is what I think the Lord would want, and this ain't what I think the Lord would want. So when your husband comes home, he's like, you know what? I think we need to go shop. You're like, right there, that's a word from the Lord. I can tell you've been in your Bible. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go spend some money. And then when he's like, hey, let's save some money, you're like, I rebuke you, Satan. Like, I thought you were saved a minute ago, but now you're just straight up in rebellion. You're of the devil, right? Because you're determining what you think is right. And that's not what God's saying either. So both of those ways are messed up. But I'm going to tell you guys something. When you're right with the Lord, check this out, you're going to be right with each other, okay? And God's going to work that stuff out. And that's why he says in verse 25, now Paul's like, it takes two to make this thing go right. It takes two to make it out of sight. That's some old school 80s stuff. Anyway, verse 25, he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So what he's saying to do, if you don't want to live like roommates but soulmates, you're going to have to love your wife as Christ loves the church. So Vicky, this week, I think it was Wednesday, and I asked her, I said, how many times a day do I tell you I love you? And she goes, oh no, I'm not answering that because I know you're teaching on Sunday. And you're going to get up there and talk about how many times a day you tell me you love me in front of everybody. And she was right. But I asked her, I said, come on, now tell me. Every day since I've met you, you know, after we started doing stuff right, I said, out of all these years, and we've been married 25, how many times a day do I tell you that I love you? She goes, I don't know, probably at least five. Every day. Every year after year, I tell that woman I love her so much, at least 5 times a day. At least. I tell my kids all the time. But you know, it's easier to say it than show it. Amen? Because what do you do when she's sick and she's coughing in your face, or you're sitting in her chair on the couch, and this happens, she's got her chair on the couch, and she'll be in the quilt room, so I think I got the chair to myself. It's the chair. Does anybody got a chair, the chair in the house? Well, I got the chair in the house. And so I'll sit there, and she'll come out, and she'll punk me, and she'll be like, straight up, get out. And I'm like, man, I got my Coke, I got my seeds, I'm watching the news, you know, she's like, I don't care, get out. So you know what I do? I get up and I get out. But there's so many times where it's easy to love somebody who's easy to love, but what about when it's hard to love? That's why Paul's like, forget all the when it's easy to love. He's rooting love, how to love, and how Christ loves the church. And the way that he loves the church is that he died for her sacrificially. So when it comes to husbands loving our wives, you know how we do it? Number one, sacrificially. It means you need to love her to death.
Well, I cleaned the kitchen. I went to work today.
That stuff, you know, great. That's good that you made a paycheck and that you went to work and all of that. But you know what? That's not loving your wife to death sacrificially. Also, how did Christ love unconditionally, didn't he? There was zero conditions, zero requirements. No kind of catch. You guys get in a fight, and she's like, you know what, we're not having sex for a week. And you're just like, and none of that. Don't act like you guys don't know what I'm talking about. It's unconditional, sacrificial love that God says that he roots in how Jesus loved us. And he's saying, listen, love her. Not for what you can get from her, what you can give to her. Love her. But Jason, you know how she is in the morning. Maybe not. She gets crazy. She starts on these rants and goes nuts, and it goes to this other thing, and then she gets all accusative and suspicious and this and that. And man, to say that, you don't know, and I don't know. I don't know your relationship. It's true. But I know this. As men, as with the women, when we go to the Lord, and this is why we bow our knee to God and say, listen, I don't know how to love her like she needs to be loved. This is because, man, we're kind of messed up in this area. And God's like, you know what? Again, you're in the right place. And when we go to God and we submit to God and we listen to what God's saying, listen, he's gonna work it out. We've got to love like we've been loved. You know what Jesus did? He listens to us. We need to listen. He's patient with us. We need to be patient. Do you know he prays for us? Did you know God prays for you? To be victorious, to be powerful, to be steadfast. And so listen, if you're single and you're going to get married, this is what you got to do. You got to lift your wife up like God's lifting you up every single day. God, give her strength. God, give her power. God, I pray she's victorious. I pray over her mind. I pray over her life. I pray blessings over this woman. This is what God does to us. And listen, if you're married and you're not doing that, this is the first step, listen, to have an amazing marriage, not just a mediocre one. Nobody signs up and says, you know what, I just want to kind of have a cool, like an okay marriage. Forget that. You have an okay marriage. Mine's going to be gnarly. It's going to be off the hook. Like, we're going to do it right. And the way that we do that as men is we love her like Christ loves us. Verse 26, so now Paul says, he wants to make sure that the husbands understand that the headship is not a dictatorship, Okay? So check this out. We just got a couple more minutes. Verses 26. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the by the word, that he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So Paul's telling his friends, love your wives, help them be holy, clean by the washing of the word. And you're like, okay, that sounds great. So when we get home, I'm going to turn on the hose and like throw the Bible, like wash her in the word, right? No. And it sounds kind of mystical in a way, but let's just take it out and see what it is. Wash her in the word. So Vicky and I, we get up, we read the word, we spend time with God, we pray, and we go to work. By the way, when I'm talking to you guys about marriage, not only have we been married 25 years, but I live with this woman, I work with this woman, I mean, I'm with this woman, all do ministry with this, we're always together. And I've had friends be like, oh my gosh, Jason, how do you do it? It's awesome. I married my best friend. It didn't start that way, but it ended up this way. And so listen, so he's telling them to wash them in the word. Now, the way that it looks is, so Vicky and I will wake up, we'll read the scriptures together on our way to work, we'll talk about it, we'll pray about it. And that's really what Paul's saying. If you want to bring the best out of her, get the word in her. Because that'll come out. And so you're like, man, I just don't know what. Listen, sit down with her. Pray with her. Read the word with her. Learn. Here's an idea. Study scripture for yourself. Learn a couple things and share it with her. And in doing so, you're equipping her and you're praying with her. And when she's discouraged or she's upset or she's going through some depression, you're going to have some tools instead of just being like, I don't know what to do. Nothing's worse for a woman to be with someone that doesn't know what to do at all, when we could pray with them, when we could read the word to them, when we can say, hey, listen, I know this doesn't look good right now, but I'm going to tell you what I heard today by God, and this is what this is. Do you know the encouragement that she's going to get from that? Do you know the encouragement your man will get from that? There's so many times, church, I want to quit. I'll be honest with you guys. I think I've been pretty transparent when I teach. There's times where I just want to quit. And I get so attacked, because men get PMS too. They sure do. I don't know what they call it, but we get it. And to have a woman come by your side and say, you know what, we're going to get in the word together. That's what Paul's talking about, washing her with the word, encouraging her in the word. And that's the one thing that's going to upgrade us in our marriage right there. And so it might be hard, but you know what, just do it. Just start it. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. I don't know. Forget that. You can get through awkward. But listen, the devil wants nothing more than to destroy you guys. And you need to be grounded in the word. And so listen, in verse 28 and 33, we're gonna close out with this. So husbands, he says, so husbands ought to love your own wives as their own bodies. And he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. So basically what he's saying is, saying, fellas, you know, you got up, you took a shower, you put some deodorant on, hopefully. And like, you know, you take care of yourself, right? You put food in your face and you try to like do stuff. And so, because you care about your body. And he's saying, listen, as you're taking care of yourself, it's because you love yourself. And that's how we need to treat our wives. And he says, just as the Lord does the church. For we're members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. And for this reason, oh, this is good. We're going to end out on this, but this is good. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. So what he's saying is one man, one woman equals one relationship, right? Joined together. And they shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak this concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now listen, as we close out with this, there's some helpful advice right there. Paul is quoting Genesis chapter 2, where he says, they shall leave their mother and their father, and the two shall become one. And one of the greatest problems in division, and I can tell you this in my own family too, is that when two people come together and their parents get involved and they just try to run everything and tell them how they should be living, how they should be acting, and what they should be doing. This happens. Don't be with this, don't do that, don't do this. And what the Bible says is that you need to make a break. And that whether it's with your immediate family, your mom, your dad, check this out, or your friends. Because by the way, young man, when you get with a girl and you guys get married and you do the right thing, you know what's going to happen? Guess who's going to be over on Friday night? Nobody. Your wife. Guess who your best friend is now? It's not the guy down the street. Guess what? It's your wife. You know who you're going to be gaming with? That's right, your wife. Because she's your wife. And you're going to have to grow up and put some childish things aside, which means you can't hang with everybody. Not everybody can hang with you. And they can't always be over there. You give that stuff up. And that's the problem with a lot of fellas. They don't want to give up old friends, old relationships. And God says you need to come out and separate from all of that stuff and be one. Now listen, worship team, come on up. We're going to close out with this. I want to show you something that he said that was really interesting to me that we need to think about as we're going to close out today. He said, husbands, Paul said this, and the words that he uses, whenever you're reading the Bible, check this out. Words matter, and the way they say them matters. So when Paul said, husbands, love your wives, and wives, see that you respect your husbands, Paul could have said, wives, love your husbands. Husbands, respect your wives. Couldn't he have said that? You know why he didn't? Because he's wise. And he knows that men, we really don't have a problem respecting our wives in the sense that we want to, hey, give them their space. They want to do what they want to do. That's fine. We respect that. You know what we have a hard time doing? Showing that we love them. That's the hard thing for fellas. I know it. And for wives, they love their husbands. They love them. They have a hard time showing that they respect them. And so what Paul's saying and what God wants us to get as we close out this morning is this. God will always bless a marriage where a man shows his wife love and she will show him respect. So will you guys stand with me this morning? I want to pray for the singles that are in here today. And you're thinking about getting married. Maybe there's a girl that you guys want to get married to. You got your guys' eyes on somebody and you're going to do things right. But you're not married yet. Listen, do it the right way. Because chances are you've seen it done the wrong way with your parents. And listen, my mom was married 8 times. I didn't have a dad. I had 8. She was crazy. And I didn't have the model of what I'm experiencing today? And maybe you didn't either. But I'm going to tell you what, God, if he's done it in me, he's going to do it in you. Guaranteed. And if you're here today and you're like, you know what, this whole submission thing, forget this, I'm not into that. That's fine. Live as a roommate. But if you don't want to live as a roommate and have a soulmate, hey, listen, God's trying to fix that and saying, let's love our wives. Let's respect and submit to our husbands. And for some of you guys, if you're here today and you're like, you know what, we've been married a long time. We're kind of in a rut. We're sort of stuck. Things are the way they are, because that happens too. It does. Listen, you can make a break today. Pray for each other. Get in the Word together. Submit to God. And God will work it out in you. Amen. Let's give God praise for that. Hey. There doesn't have to be divorce. There doesn't have to be all this trash. Hey, listen, that generational curse can stop with you. And God can heal you where you're at. I don't know how many relationships maybe you've been through. But with God, all things are possible. And he can redeem the years that the locusts have stolen. So let's close out in prayer. Father, we just come to you today in your presence, and we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray over the wives in here today that you give them peace about their husband, that you put faith in their heart that once they submit and turn their husband over to you and saying, God, I love this man. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to be his encourager. I'm going to be his helper. I'm on his team. I'm on his side. God, that out of that will flow to her husband, and you're going to use it and change him. And Father, I'm praying for the fellas in here today. Lord, I'm pleading on their behalf, God, these young men, these single men, Father. I'm praying over the married men that they commit their lives to you and they determine in their hearts that they're going to do what is right before you. God, give them that strength. Give them that endurance. Equip them. Lead them, God. Change them. That's what we're looking for, but we need you to do it. And Lord, as we come into and we're going to close this out and take communion today, Father, we thank you that you sent your son to die on the cross for us. And we submit to him. We thank you for that. Set up rule and reign in our hearts today, God. And we want to commune with you today by taking the drink and the bread, your blood and your body that was broken and your blood that was shed for us, that we may have eternity with you, God. Thank you for that day that's coming. And thank you for all that you're going to do in this day. In Jesus' name, amen.